Good afternoon, and welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. I'm your host, Blair Boone Magura. Thank you, member supporters. On today's Singing and Other Sins program, we continue with part two of our two-part segment celebrating the birthday of inarguably one of the world's most famous collaborative pianists, Gerald Moore, whose dates are July 30th, 1899 to March 13th, 1987. Throughout his incredible career, Moore partnered with many prolific singers like Hans Hotter, Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, Maggie Tate, Elizabeth Schumann, and of course, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. His first book, The Unashamed Accompanist, published in 1943, was later recorded and pressed onto vinyl in 1955 under the name Testament, The Unashamed Accompanist. We've been listening to excerpts from Testament, along with some celebrated recordings, especially selected for this program. So let's return to Testament, The Unashamed Accompanist with Gerald Moore in part two of our segment.
Sometimes in our introductions to these lovely songs, we find we have ample space, plenty of time, in which to express ourselves and in which to transmit the mood to the listener. But I want to show you first a song by Schubert called Wanderer's Nachtlied, Wanderer's Night Song. The singer says, "The whole landscape is still. Not a sound is heard, even the birds are quiet. Have patience, my soul, only wait, and one day you too will find such peace." You can say that the spirit of this song is one of religious tranquility, but the accompanist has only a short introduction, just a few chords taking a few seconds to play, in which to let you know that the mood is to be one of religious tranquility. The introduction being so short, it means the accompanist must be right in the mood before he starts to play. He mustn't gradually feel his way into it. The exact tempo, the exact color, must be in his mind before his fingers touch the notes. It sounds awfully simple, this little introduction, but I'd like to try and play it to you. Of course, any child can sit down and play those chords, but the question is, how do you play them? What is in your mind when you play them? Because, you know, you can't just sit down, raise your hands in the air, let them fall on the keys, and expect a miracle to happen. You've got to think about it. You've got to have the greatest reverence for it. We look in music for curves. We look for a rising curve and a falling curve. This is human nature, after all. When we speak, we start a sentence low down in the voice. Then, as we get towards the middle, our voice rises, like mine is rising now. And as we get to the end of the sentence, our voice just naturally falls. In some pieces of music, this rise and fall is a tremendous arch. But in this particular song, the rise and fall is just a tiny undulation, slightly up and slightly down. So we start at the bottom of this curve and we work up. We increase the tone with each chord. Now we're at the top of the arch. And now we start to work down. Each chord less, less. And that wants a great deal of critical listening. It wants great control of your touch, and also it wants a great deal of love and tremendous respect for what you're playing.
es leid und Schmerzen still ist, den der doppelt elend ist, doppelt mit Treibens müde. Was soll all der Schmerz und
you're listening to Singing and Other Sins, and we are celebrating a name known to many who appreciate the area of German song, pianist Gerald Moore, and excerpts from his testament, The Unashamed Accompanist, along with a performance of Wanderes Nachtlicht by baritone Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. We continue now with more from the collaborative duo and from Testament, The Unashamed Accompanist.
I would like to show you very quickly just a few of Schubert's magical strokes of the pen, where he is able, apparently without any effort at all, to evoke a mood in the mind of the sensitive listener. There's a song, Tränenregen, Teardrops, which tells us of a young lad's love for a girl, of his hopes of winning her, and of his despair when he finds she loves another. And you know, we often find, if we've studied the words properly, we get a synopsis of the plot or story of the song in our little piano introduction. And in this song, you'll hear hope and despair expressed in these few bars. I'm sure you'll notice where hope ends and where despair creeps in.
So traulich beisammen im kühlen Erlendach. Wir schauten so traulich zusammen hinab in den rieselnden Bach. Und schauten so traulich zu.
And then for a contrast, listen to the anger and the malice in this song called Jealousy and Pride. This is really spiteful.
Wohin so schnell, so kraus und wild, mein lieber Bach, als du von Sorte frechen Bruder Jäger nach, kehr um, kehr um, und schilt er seine Müllerin für ihren leichten, losen kleinen Flach. Abend nicht am Tore stehen, mit langem Halse nach der großen Straße sehen. Wenn von dem Fang der Jäger lustig sieht nach Haus, da steckt kein Sitz am Kind den Kopf zum Fenster aus. Wenn von dem Fang der Jäger lustig zieht nach Haus, da steckt kein Sitz am Kind den Kopf zum Fenster aus. Geh Wächlein hin und sag ihr das, geh Wächlein hin und sag ihr das. Doch sag ihr nicht, hörst du kein Wort von meinem traurigen Gesicht. Sag ihr, er schnitzt bei mir sich eine Pfeife aus Rohr und bläst den Kindern schöne Tett und Lieder vor. Sag ihr, er schnitzt bei mir sich eine Pfeife aus Rohr. Sag ihr, er bläst den Kindern schöne Tett und Lieder vor. Sag es, sag es, sag es.
And now, Frühlingstraum, Dream of Spring. This is just innocent and lovely, and Schubert gives you a tiny hint at the end of this introduction, which really tells you that it is springtime. Did you hear that little cuckoo? Mind you, Schubert does not underline that little effect. It's just one of those wonderful and precious jewels you find in Schubert's songs if you have enough love to search for them.
Ich träumte von bunten Blumen, so wie sie wohl blühen im Mai. Ich träumte von grünen Wiesen, von lustigem Vogelgeschrei, von lustigem Vogelgeschrei. Und als die Hähne krähten, da ward mein Auge wach, da war's kalt und finster.
Schubert can be very amusing in some of his moods. There's a song of his called Der Einsame, The Lonely One. This tells of a chap who comes back from work and says, "Now I'm home, all I want to do is to get the fire going, put on my carpet slippers, light my pipe, and sit down in my armchair, and I don't give a fig for anyone. I don't want to go out, I don't want to go to the theatre, I don't want to go dancing, I don't want to see the girls." What an idiot the man is, isn't he? At all events, he's just smug, very self-satisfied. And I'm sure this accompaniment will convey to you this mood of smugness, this prim bachelor's self-sufficiency. course, this little figure in the bass here. That's where he's snuggling back in his armchair.
Wenn meine Grillen schwirren bei Nacht am späterwärmten Heer, dann sitz ich mit vergnügtem Sinn vertraulich zu der Flamme hier. Dann sitz ich mit vergnügtem Sinn vertraulich zu der Flamme hier. So leicht, so unbeschwert, so leicht, so unbeschwert. Stilles Stündchen bleibt man noch gern am Feuer wahr. Man schürt, wenn sich die Lohe senkt, die Funken auf. Und sieht und denkt, nur aber mal ein Tag, nur aber mal ein Tag. Was Liebes oder Leides sein Lauf für uns dahergebracht. Was Liebes oder Leides sein Lauf für uns dahergebracht. Es geht noch einmal durch den Sinn, allein das Böse wirft man hin. Es störe nicht die Nacht, es störe nicht die Nacht. Ein holdes Bild mit sanfter Lust die Seele füllt. Ergibt man sich der Ruhe, ergibt man sich der Ruhe. Oh, wie ich mir gefalle in meiner stillen Ländlichkeit, was in dem Schwarm der lauten Welt das irre Herz gefesselte. Gibt nicht Zufriedenheit, gibt nicht Zufriedenheit. Ziert immer, liebe Heimchen, in meiner Klause eng und klein. Ziert immer, liebe Heimchen, in meiner Klause eng und klein. Ich duld euch gern, ihr stört mich nicht, wenn euer Lied das Schweigen bricht. Bin ich nicht ganz allein, bin ich nicht ganz allein, wenn euer Lied das Schweigen.
You are listening to Singing and Other Sins, and we're celebrating famed collaborative pianist Gerald Moore and enjoying excerpts from his testament, The Unashamed Accompanist, and performances with baritone Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and soprano Elisabeth Schumann. We continue now with one of the most iconic songs from the German vocal literature repertoire, Der Erlkönig, with Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. That notable song will be followed by another well-known Lied, Die Allmacht, with mezzo-soprano Christa Ludwig.
There's a great song of Schubert's that I would like to talk about for a few minutes, and that is Erlkönig, the Earl King. If this song is well sung and well played, the terror of it will grip the listener by the throat. It tells of the father on his galloping horse, charging madly through the forest at dead of night, with his dying boy clasped in his arms. And the boy, in his fever, in his delirium, fancies he can see the spectre of death chasing him down the forest path. Death, of course, being the Earl King. And the father tries to reassure the boy. He says, "My son, what you see there is only a wraith of mist." But he spurs his horse on quicker and quicker until at last he pulls up at his home, only to find that his boy is dead in his arms. Now, this song has a most tremendous accompaniment. You hear in my right hand the galloping hooves of the horse right through the song like this. And you hear in my left hand this suggestion of the shudder of the boy as he sees this horrible specter. I'd like to play a few bars of this accompaniment. And so on it clatters right through this terrifying song.
Meine Töchter führen den nächtlichen Rhein und wiegen und tanzen und singen dich ein. Sie wiegen und tanzen und singen dich ein. Mein Vater, mein Vater, und siehst du nicht dort, der Königstöchter am düster Ort. Mein Sohn, ich sehe
scheinen die alten Weiden so grau.
Ich liebe dich, mich reizt deine schöne Gestalt, und bist du nicht willig, so brauch ich Gewalt.
Mein Vater, mein Vater, jetzt fasst ihr mich an, Herr König hat mir ein Leid getan. Dem Vater grauset's, er reitet geschwind, er hält in Armen das ächzende Kind. Er reicht den Hof mit Weh und Not. In seinen Armen das Kind war tot.
The singer stands, as I told you, in the bend of the piano and directs his or her voice into the auditorium. The singer, therefore, will be standing almost with his back to the accompanist. This means that the audience, certainly the front half of the audience, are going to hear the singer's voice in greater volume than the accompanist. It means that an accompanist has got to use great judgment to assess how much or how little tone he dare give. I want to play to you in this connection the accompaniment to Schubert's Die Allmacht, The Almighty. This is a great hymn of praise to God, and the piano has got to sound like an organ. It's got to give the impression of the great diapason tone of an organ rolling through a cathedral. Now, if I were playing that song for a singer, even a singer with a big, noble voice, I could hardly hear her above the noise I'm making on the piano. With her back to me, all I shall hear from the singer is a wisp of tone. So if anybody was sitting next to me, on my left, turning the pages, he would say to himself, "This fellow is drowning the singer." But if I wanted to hear that singer properly, I should have to play the accompaniment like this. And at once, all the might, all the majesty, all the glory have gone out of the song. And more than that, the singer, whether the singer were a great singer or a less than great singer, would be unable to carry on with such flimsy support as that. She needs tremendous tonal support from the piano in a song of that nature, not only psychologically, but physically. Vocally, she needs a strong foundation of tone on which to lean, to help her through what is a tremendous test of endurance. So you can see how important it is for the accompanist to give all the support he can and yet not to drown the singer's tone. Believe me, it's quite a problem.
Oh, Waldstroms laut auf rauschendem Ruf.
You're listening to Singing in Other Sins, and we're celebrating Gerald Moore and enjoying excerpts from his testament, The Unashamed Accompanist. We end our program with Moore describing the difficulties for the pianist in the area of transposition.
Another problem that comes the way of the accompanist is something called transposition. Now, some of you might not know exactly what transposition is, but you will when I finish with you, I can assure you. First of all, transposition is this. The accompanist sees a piece of music in front of him in one key, and he plays it in another. Intentionally, of course, intentionally. For argument's sake, suppose the music in front of me were "All the Lads, They Smile at Me When Coming Through the Rye." We'll say it's in the key of C major. Perhaps I'm asked to transpose it from C major to F sharp major. I still see it on the page in C major because the printed notes don't change. I have to change these notes in my head. So that instead of having this, we have this. And if you think that coming through the Rye from C major to F sharp major, if you think that emerging from the Rye that all the lads are still smiling, you're vastly mistaken. What happens, to put it bluntly, is this. The accompanist's eyes register the key of C major, but in his brain the notes are changed, and by some magic on the accompanist's part, the music comes out in a different key. Well, I don't want to go into the difficulties involved in transposing. I want to show you how transposing affects the listener without his being aware of it. There's a song by Schubert called Im Frühling, In the Springtime. In one section of this song, the piano gives you a delicious effect of a little rippling stream, birds twittering, buds gleaming in the sunshine. Here it is, in the original key of G. A lovely tinkling sound, full of sunshine and brightness. Sometimes, the singer will say, I find that key too high. Will you please play it a tone down in F? And I want you to notice a very subtle change in the quality of sound when the song is taken from here and played here. There's a slight difference, you know. A little of the brightness and buoyancy has gone out of the music. But when you transpose it even further away from Schubert's original key, this difference in the quality of sound becomes more obvious. There's very little glow left. A year or two ago, I had to play this song down a fourth. Instead of in G, I had to play it in D. And this is what it sounded like. And now it's become heavy and dull and grey. The brightness and the sheen have gone from it, and that is how, unsuspectingly, the listener is affected by transposition. Because you may go to a concert where this lovely song is on the programme, and perhaps you play it yourself, or perhaps a friend plays it, and you say, what a delicious song, how nice it'll be to hear that song this evening. And you go to the concert. But perhaps Im Frühling is being sung in a transposed key, and you're disappointed, and you don't know why. It doesn't occur to you, and why should it, that the song has been transposed. All you say to yourself is, well, I'm not so thrilled with that song and its lovely accompaniment as I expect it to be. I don't think Moore is as good as I thought he was. He's certainly not as good as he thinks he is. Well, this is one of the burdens the accompanist has to bear without advertisement and without complaint. He can't stand up and explain to the audience that he's playing the song in a transposed key. But it's not only transposing down that can upset the song. Transposing up can have its disadvantages too. Take a song that is full of muscle and masculinity, like Brahms's Der Schmied, the blacksmith. Now, this is a weighty affair. This is how it goes. Der Schmied is transposed up. This is the effect you get. Well, at once you can see that the blacksmith has turned into a tinsmith. Anyway, these are instances where the listener's enjoyment is affected by transposition. Talking of transposing, I must tell you of an actual experience of mine. A bass singer came to rehearse with me. He could only speak a few words of English. We got on splendidly. One of the songs he had on his program was Der Einsame, the lonely one, the song which I spoke about earlier, you know, the smug man, the abominable smug man. Anyway, we went right through the song in the original key of F. Evidently, he found that key a little bit uncomfortable because he turned to me and said, "Is too high." I said, "Is too high?" He said, "Is too high." You see, the conversation was becoming quite animated. "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put it down half a tone. So instead of having it in F, we'll have it in E. Instead of here, we'll have it here." We went right through it again. This time he turned to me and he said, "Is too low." I said, "Is too low?" You see, I was beginning to cotton on to the language myself by this time. He said, "Is too low." "Well," I said, "I don't know what the dickens I can do about it." And I showed him with my finger. I first of all played it in this key in F. Then I played it in this key, E. And he looked at these two notes for a long time. And then he said, "Have you nothing in between?" Well, I don't know whether he expected me to play on the cracks or not, I'm sure. Perhaps he expected me to do this. I hope that what I've said and played has convinced you that the field of the accompanist is wonderfully interesting and varied. Take my advice. When a song is being performed, open your ears and your minds impartially to what the singer and the accompanist are saying to you.
You've been listening to Singing and Other Sins. I'd like to thank you today for listening to the program featuring a titan among the great piano accompanists, Gerald Moore, and excerpts from his testament, The Unashamed Accompanist, along with remarkable performances with many celebrated singers. We end today's program with another celebrated singer, baritone Hans Hotter, and a performance of Im Frühling. Join me again for another episode of Singing in Other Sins. I'm your host, Blair Bunmagura. Aloha.
Thank you.